to rise and throw our chains right to the line into freedom.
Make this place. from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Sing that one more time. As you unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. It's all my
Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. We are no longer.
Amen. Amen.
Because we are children
sons
of God.
Sin or
amen.
Fear.
Amen.
We're no longer slaves to those things. Amen. Amen.
We are children of the living God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I think that is the most important thing that we can concentrate on right now, is that we are children of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
No better place to be, no better title to have.
Nope.
Than a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you get any big announcements?
We do in February. Mark your calendars. I believe it's the 11th of February. It's a Friday night. And the 12th, there's going to be a marriage conference. And instead of doing the XO conference like we've done the last couple years, we're going to do a live conference at the Bakken's campus. And so we'll give you more details on that. I'm just checking my calendar to make sure that I've given you the right dates. The 11th and 12th, so Friday and Saturday. So mark your calendars for that. We'll have more details to come out for that. But I think that's all I've got for now. And Jesse will be in Bakken's on the
8th,
next weekend.
9th. So not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Correct.
All right.
And if we seem a little standoffish, don't feel, no, we're not. We're just getting ready to be tested in a couple weeks, and I am distancing myself because remember, this past January, I tested positive and couldn't go on my vacation.
Exactly.
So I'm just kind of got my, I've got my hand sanitizer.
And she won't let me hug either. So if I'm not giving you a bunch of
handshakes, because he comes home and hugs me, right?
And hugs, then you know why, because I got to do my vacation protocol.
Amen.
Vacation protocol.
Amen. I think that's all we got.
Okay.
We had the best Nerf war in my house, I'm telling you, and I'm pretty sure I won. I'm pretty sure. We had the best time at Christmas. Hope you all had a great holiday. Amen. And we're not doing anything tomorrow night, no. We didn't set anything up, so never mind. Amen.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and let the children's church go so that they can get into their great evening. And then we're going to do the offering real quick. And it says that in the book of Acts chapter 2, there is a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth in with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seashore. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So what this is about is that I want you to know that your alms and your offerings do a lot in the kingdom of God. Not just your tithing, but when you give alms and you are kind to people, or when you give things, I'm telling you that the kingdom of God takes note. It took note so much in this man's life that Cornelius had his whole family blessed, and many of them got saved because when he met with Peter, Peter preached to them, and they were able to get saved. So I want you to understand something, that your alms and your offerings mean a lot in the kingdom of God. And when you give them, never take short of what they are and what you're doing and how God will use what you give him to work on. Amen. So we're going to just go ahead and bring up the offering buckets, and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as everyone gives their tithe and offering tonight, Father, I just pray blessing over it, God. I just pray your hand of goodness be upon everything that is brought forth, God, that you just move on the lives of your people. And God, I want them to know that their alms are taken note of all the way up into heaven. You take note of what we do, Father. Our prayers go to heaven. Our offerings go to heaven. And God, you work within what we give you. And you are always blessing your people. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Your microphone for a minute. Hey, Paul, I want you to come up here for a minute. Some of you may or may not know this, but this is Paul O'Master, who's Mama's son back there. Glenna Lomaster has her son Steve, and this is her other son Paul. And we've been praying a lot for Sandy, who is Steve's who's Paul's wife, because he has been in a long-term battle. But tell us a little testimony.
Well, anyways, is this thing on? Test one.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyways, my wife's been dealing with a lot of infections and a lot of things in her body. Well, she's dealing with something else right now. She's fighting for her life. But back in June of this year, she was diagnosed with a blood infection in her bloodstream. And she was dying. She was on life support, and the doctor said she couldn't make it. Well, she's fighting again for her life, but she has no more infection in her bloodstream. So, you know, I thank God for that. And the doctors also said if she can make it for 72 hours, that she's got hope. She's made it for 72 hours.
Amen.
And, you know, it's real hard sometimes to actually keep a job when you're trying to make sure your wife and your other half's, you know, in and out of the hospital all the time. And so I'm not saying everybody should do what I did, but it's, you got to hear from God. I had to step out on faith because I quit my job. I gave my boss 2 weeks' notice. I started my own company because I needed the flexibility to work for my wife, you know, take care of my wife. And so I went ahead and did that. And sometimes you wonder if God's really, if you're really hearing from God and you're doing what you're supposed to. Well, 10 years ago, I made an investment. I didn't realize that. I got a check in the mail for $167, and I got another check in the mail for like $800, and I didn't even know it was coming. So sometimes when you step out on faith and you don't think God's hearing you, just remember, he does hear you. You know, my wife's been fighting for her life. God's healed her of the blood infection. So you know what? He can heal her of the rest of it. So just remember that God is hearing you. Sometimes when you think he's not listening to you, just remember, he will hear you. He does hear you.
Amen.
It's not on our time, but it's on his.
Amen. Praise God. God bless. Hey, thank you. You know, it's interesting because we start this testimony, and I was going to be talking just for a little bit tonight about the fact that we have all been through some traumatic seasons over the last year or two. And in fact, we have seen things that we never even thought we would see. We've seen things that we haven't understood. We've went through stuff that we haven't understood. And I want us to understand that the most important thing about what we have been through, especially as we look forward, is our goal is to press into Jesus. See, what Paul said was very interesting, because I'll tell you what, sometimes when all of social media is going on and all of the media is going on and everything's happening out there the way it's happening, oftentimes it's hard for people to make sure that they can really hear what the Lord is saying to them. And so what we have got to do is that I hope that this has been your way of doing it. I hope this is what you've done to make sure you got through it. But if it's not, then I just want to encourage you to understand that this is how we have to get through this kind of stuff. We always have to put God first, period. Period. We have to put the Lord our God first, and he has to be in front of everything that we do. And I want to read here just for a few minutes in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The best way to judge yourself on whether you are navigating this time that we're living in properly is God your first love? Is salvation still the most important thing? And not just your salvation, what are we doing as people to bring other people to salvation? See, when we want to look and say, what are we supposed to be doing in this time in which we live, I want you to know that the Word of God was made for all the thousands of years of the past, but it's been made for all the years of the future, no matter how many days and no matter how many how much time we have in the future. The Word of God that was made for back then is the Word of God that was made for now and the Word of God that's made for the future, so nothing about it changes. The things that are important in the Word, the things that are supposed to be priority in the Word, are still the same priority that we have each now and every day out before us. And I think it's amazing, because we should be able to answer that question. We should be able to answer that question. Am I still loving God first and then loving others as myself? Because these are the two biggest commandments and these are the two biggest things that should be operating in our life. You know, I also want to just go right here for just a minute. Ooh. Because it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And with this is something that we should clearly be making sure that we are standing in and standing on during this time in which we live. Because you making sure that you have a sound mind, a mind that is clear for the power of God to work through you, and to recognize that your spirit is a spirit filled with power, that you have been created as a spirit filled with power. And that you need to make sure that out of your three characteristics, spirit, soul, and body, you've got to make sure that the one that dominates is your spirit man, okay? You do have three characteristics. You are spirit, soul, and body. But your number one most powerful characteristic is that you are spirit first, and then you are soul, and then you are body. And the most thing that's most important is, what are you doing with your spirit? What are you filling your spirit up with? Are you in a position where you are feeding yourself and making sure that you are plugging into God on a regular basis? Are you spending time in prayer? Are we really putting on the value of prayer that should be on the value of prayer? Do we really pray and believe that when we pray, something's going to happen? When we pray, do we believe that the supernatural, not just something natural, not just something natural, but do we believe that something supernatural is going to happen when we pray? Do we believe that situations are going to be turned around? Do we believe that healing is going to come? Do we believe that people are going to make differences and move things and that things are going to change? Do we believe that jobs are going to come? Do we believe that promotions are going to come? When we pray, is that something that we are focusing on and making sure that we believe and that we're believing God for? You know, do we have a confidence in these things? You know, I want you to know that Philippians 1:6 says, "He who has begun a good work in us, he is faithful to finish it." Do you really look at God as being do you really look at God with a confidence to say that whatever he's begun in me as a Christian, he's going to finish? See, right now there's so much people worried and concerned about stuff, but my question is your worry and concern about the world overriding what could be your confidence that God is going to do something great? And that's where our heart should be. Our heart should be that the Lord is going to do something great. And he who begun something in us is faithful to finish it. He's going to come forth and he's going to flourish. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in tomorrow. But I do know this, that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, I have no less confidence than what I had. In fact, I have more confidence. My confidence is high. Because I feel like the more that we get ready to see things take place that look and let us know that the Lord is coming, the more we're going to see God's power released on the earth to bring to pass. Just like the times where we can look in the Bible and see how supernaturally the Lord sent the miracles and the angels to help Mary and Joseph, just the way that the Lord supernaturally infused that time with his presence, we need to know that the Lord is going to supernaturally infuse our time with his presence. And he's going to do that because he wants to bring forth everything he needs to bring forth for us to be blessed and for us to walk in what God has for us. Amen? I'm going to go over here and we're going to look at a scripture. And it says here in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, now, first of all, I just want to remind you that that outward man perishing isn't just a physical thing where we're getting older. What that really talks about is that if our inward man is renewed day by day, that means that the nature of God is renewed in us day by day. And what it also means is that the nature of the outward carnal man is diminished day by day. It doesn't mean that you're dying day by day. It means that the outward of the carnal nature of us is losing its power and authority day by day because our inward man is taking over. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." You know, it says here that our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, what that lets us know is that as believers, you are going to have some troubles and some battles. You're going to have some afflictions. You're going to have some things that come upon you as Christians, and they're not going to be easy for you to go through. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have challenge, hardship. But the Bible also says that if we endure those things, then it will work a far greater weight of glory. And what that means is that your rewards in heaven, your rewards in the things of God, your rewards in the things of the kingdom are going to be far greater if you can intensely go through the battles that happen in life. You know, I want you to know that as Christians, sometimes we are going to fight situations. That's why I had Brother Paul come up here and speak to us for a few minutes, because I want each one of you that have gone through struggle or maybe going through struggle right now, I don't want you to think that you're the only one. And I don't want you to think that because you're going through a struggle, there's something wrong with you as a Christian. Just because you are a Christian does not mean that you're not going to have struggle. In fact, you can be a fasting, praying, you can be doing all the things that you think you're supposed to do, and you can come into challenge, and you can come into battles, and you can come into fights, but God will help you with them. Amen? The Lord will help you no matter where you're at, and he will come in, and he will challenge, and he will make new, and he will restore, because that's exactly what he does. Yes. Now, I want to talk about something just for a few minutes, because I'm going to share with you, I believe, out of the book of Mark. And I want to just share with you a story in the book of Mark where there is a man, and he brought his son to Jesus' disciples to be healed. And it was kind of an interesting story because the son had been tormented his entire life. So I thought it was, first of all, interesting that this father would have his courage or his faith stirred up. He must have heard the things that was going on, and he had his faith stirred up, and he went to the disciples because he wanted to see his son healed. And after all of these years, he hadn't given up the hope that if the Lord did something, he could heal his son. And so what happens is that they go and they take him to the disciples, but however, he went, and it did not happen. And so in verse 17, right here, Mark 9, verse 17, it says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth at his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And, of course, Jesus called us a faithless generation at that time. and they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. And when he fell down, Jesus asked him, said, how long has this been going on? And he said, of a child. Oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and show compassion. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And this is what I really wanted us to see here. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You know, I want you to know that sometimes when you're struggling, we'll concentrate so much on giving up and losing hope. But here's a man who looked right into Jesus, and he said, Jesus said, believe. And the guy said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And you know what Jesus did next? Healed his son. I want every one of us in here to realize that just because you've struggled when you're going through a battle, it does not mean that you do not have faith. And just because you've struggled when you've gone through a battle, it does not mean that the Lord is not there to help you. All you have to do is call upon him. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus is always open to what you need, and he's always open to where you're at. You know, we fall down and we get frustrated, but the Lord is always there willing to pick us up. And so I just want you to know that tonight, I want you to just understand that the Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. And the Lord will help you. You know, there was another man, his daughter, he was praying for his daughter, and Jesus was going to help him, and he got delayed by another lady who had the issue of blood, and all of a sudden they came and said, hey, quit bothering the master. She's already dead. Why do you bother him no more? Just leave him alone. She's already dead. And Jesus said, I only believe. Only believe. Stay with me on this thing. And Jesus followed the man to his house, just like they had said from the beginning. And he went in there and he prayed for her. And sure enough, his daughter was healed. Amen? Let's make sure that our hearts are open to what God is doing, and that even when we're having battles, and even when we're having difficulties, and even when we're having hardships, that our Lord and Savior is right there to help us, and that we open our heart and lean in and let him do what he's going to do. Amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory. We declare your greatness, Father. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, and we thank you for what you do in our lives, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that as we come into this new year, God, that we're going to be looking for you, Father. We're going to be looking for you. We're going to be looking for what you are doing in our lives, Father. And we're going to be just walking towards the things that you have for us. And God, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray for the Hayes family, God. And Lord, we just pray for peace and comfort. We pray for strength. God, we just pray. We just pray for the Hurt family, God, that we would just see them blessed and peace would come, God, and that they would be touched by your presence and by your goodness, Father. And Lord, we put Candace before you, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you are healing her and completing her healing, God, bringing her to fullness of health and wholeness, God. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, Father God, I just pray blessing over everyone here, Lord. Father, that strengthening would come upon us, God. Lord, that when we're in the middle of battles, we would know you're with us, God. Lord, that your strength would be upon us, God. And Lord, we would just walk in what you have for us, Father. And Lord, we just declare it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. Thank you very much. And have a very safe new year, and then we'll see you on Sunday.